What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we've been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, well, a lot to get into today. It is Thursday, so that means we are going to be getting into our keys for success. So in the second segment, we'll be talking about what the Chargers need to do defensively in this game against a Raiders offense that has been really struggling. And then we get to get into what the Chargers need to do offensively after their worst performance maybe of the entire season last week against the Minnesota Vikings. But first, we're going to talk about the Pro Bowl, because the Pro Bowl candidates have been selected and two Chargers made the cut with two alternates as well, getting in for the Bolts. And we'll also talk about a couple of players that got hugely snubbed. So we'll rant about that as well to start the show. But let's go ahead and get into it, guys. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. I'm Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer. The news of the day is that the Pro Bowl announcement has been made, with two Chargers making the cut this year, as opposed to the league-leading Ravens, who have 12 this year, which I believe is a record. The two Chargers who make the cut this year are Joey Bosa and Keenan Allen, and I think if you were going to pick two players that were the most likely to make it, the two biggest names that could make it and also deserved it, it would be Keenan Allen and Joey Bosa for what they've been able to do this season. I know Joey Bosa and his brother were the two leading vote getters amongst defensive ends for a while, so Joey Bosa is a no doubter in my mind. They also had an alternate in Melvin Ingram, who makes it as a sub, and Derek Watt, who not only makes it as an alternate as a special teams player, but is also a second alternate at fullback as well. So David, before we get into the guys who didn't make it, what did you think about the two guys, Keenan Allen and Joey Bosa, making the Pro Bowl again?
Well, with Joey Bosa, I think, you know, he obviously absolutely deserves it. And, you know, he's been able to go out there and stay healthy and play hard day in and day out. And the one thing you love about Joey is just his relentless motor. He just does not stop. Doesn't matter if the Chargers are winning or losing. He brings that same effort and intensity every single time he steps out on the field. And you got to love that. That's the type of player you want on any team. So the Chargers hopefully will be able to bring him back on another contract. He absolutely deserves this nod. And Keenan Allen, I mean, just a model of consistency. After, you know, a couple of injury scares earlier in his career, he's started to put it together. I mean, this is his third straight year of over 1,000 yards receiving. I mean, when he's on the football field, he can tear up any cornerback. His route running is so precise, regularly shakes people out of their shoes. I mean, he's just an incredible wide receiver. Glad to see him get that Pro Bowl nod, that recognition that he so rightly and so richly deserves. I mean, obviously two of the best Chargers on the team, and I'm glad that their peers, along with the fans, were able to recognize them and send them to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, and Joey Bosa gets back into double-digit sacks. He's at 10.5 so far this year, while Keenan Allen is on pace for another 100 reception season. He's already over 1,000 yards for the year, also has 5 touchdowns. And both of those guys deserve to make it. But now it's time to talk about the guys who got snubbed from the Pro Bowl voting. And that has to be Casey Hayward and Austin Ekeler. Maybe Austin Ekeler number one because of what he's been able to do this season. I mean, Austin Ekeler's stats really just stand out. I saw someone comparing him to Marlon Mack. I went back to look it up, but I couldn't find it. But I crunched the numbers, and Marlon Mack has 228 touches this year for 995 total yards. Austin Ekeler has 197 touches for 1,392 yards. I mean, that's ridiculous. Daniel Popper from The Athletic posted the scrimmage yards leader for running backs. Austin Ekeler comes in at 8th. He's the only person in the top 12 in the category to not get in or be an alternate. He's also tied for 8th in the NFL in total touchdowns. So it really makes no sense. Even though he's not your typical running back, he is gaining the most yards. He's having the biggest impact on the least amount of touches. That is a big miss for the Pro Bowl. And we all know it's basically a popularity contest. Fan voting has a big part to do with it. But per Pro Football Focus, defending Casey Hayward's snub, he has an 84.1 defensive grade, which is fourth highest among all cornerbacks this season. He's the second highest in the AFC. His 23 allowed reception is the third fewest amongst all corners who have played at least 300 coverage snaps. So, David, both of these guys' numbers have earned them a spot in the Pro Bowl, yet once again we see a few Chargers get snubbed from the list.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I mean, with Austin Eckler, he's been not only one of the most dynamic football players, offensive weapons on the Chargers, but, you know, you heard the numbers that Daniel just gave. I mean, he's one of the most dynamic weapons in the league, period. I think just because he's kind of a tweener, is he receiver, is he a running back? I think that might be the excuse, but for me, it is no excuse because he's putting up numbers, period. I mean, he's just an incredible player, been one of the biggest offensive weapons in the league, a breakout, a fantasy football darling. I mean, it's unbelievable that he didn't even get an alternate. I mean, that's a huge snub. And for Casey Hayward, I think he just doesn't have the big interception numbers. He has a couple on the year, but the reason why is because nobody's throwing at him. I mean, you can't really rack up stats as a cornerback if people don't look your way. That's what Casey Hayward has done this year, and it's just a shame that he's not getting the recognition that he deserves. Pro Football Focus recognizes him as one of the best corners. We all know he's one of the best corners in the league. I just don't understand why the voters or his peers didn't see it. I mean, the popularity contest, yes, hopefully he gets his due, and Austin Eckler gets his due when they go for all pro mentions.
And I think the players care a lot more about the all-pro mentions. And Austin Eckler, I mean, his 500 rushing yards probably doesn't help his cause as, you know, one of the best running backs in the NFL. But that's not what the position is anymore. I mean, he has 78 catches this year, which is first amongst AFC running backs. His 89.7 reception percentage is the third highest in the NFL. And his 835 yards after the catch are the highest in the league. So if you can't see those numbers and realize that he deserves to be on the team, then I can't help you. But you're right, it is a popularity contest. Casey Hayward would really probably only get in if he had the interception numbers that really popped off the page. But like you said, people aren't targeting him, so it's hard for him to put up those kind of numbers. Either way, both guys should get their due at the end of the season when all things are said and done. Austin Eckler right now is only 157 receiving yards away from the best receiving year by a running back in NFL history, passing Marshall Faulk, who has 1,048 receiving yards. So he has that to look forward to, and that just only cements how good he's been. But we do have two more segments to get into, getting into our keys for success for this weekend's game against the Oakland Raiders, coming up right after this. All right, guys, well, it's time to get into what we always do every single week, one of our patented segments for the week in our game preview, the keys for success. So in this segment, we're going to be talking about the Chargers defense and what they need to do against this Raiders offense this week to find success. One of my favorite things about doing these segments is when we've had the game already, especially for division opponents. We've seen what's worked against the Raiders and what didn't work. And that's one of the most confusing games of the season, because the Chargers in that first game, if you looked at the stat book, you'd be like, they should have won the game. But three interceptions, an interception return to the house, late game, not executing in late game situations, things we've seen all years with the Chargers, reared their ugly head. But for the Chargers defensively, they actually had a pretty good game in the first matchup against the Raiders. But John, when you're looking at what you want to see differently from the Chargers this time around defensively, what would you like to see them do to find success this week?
I would like to see them get a better containment on Josh Jacobs. I mean, they only allowed, I believe it was 70 yards rushing last time, but it was about 4.5 yards per carry. So I would like to see better containment on him, especially towards the end of the game when he scored that game-winning touchdown. It was because of broken tackles. And I want to see more containment on Darren Waller. When we got him into third downs, they got to find the tight end, and that really killed us. So if you could take away their number one target and their running back, I think you have a better chance this week. But in the end, you can't really say much defensively. The offense is what ruined us. The defense played a pretty good game, so to fix some things in the game wouldn't really result in a win. It would just result in another good performance by the defense.
Well, and in our defense, I mean, that's really all we're looking for. I mean, the Chargers defense played well through three quarters last week, and it didn't really get them any closer to that victory. It really only held the game in check a little bit longer before the Vikings ended up blowing the doors open. But for me, one of the things that they can definitely improve on from that game was the passes to the running backs. I know you mentioned Darren Waller, but in the first game, the running backs accounted for 9 catches for 92 yards, which is way too much, averaging over 10 yards per catch the running backs did against this Chargers defense. And the linebackers of the Chargers have been put under the spotlight this season, especially tackling in the open field. I think Drew Tranquil's emergence will help that a lot. I think having Derwin James obviously helps that a lot. You think back to the game against Jacksonville on 4th and 2 where they throw it to Leonard Fournette and he just stops him for no gain, and it really wasn't even that close. Those are the type of things I think could be differently this time around. But David, you know what they're going to do. Derek Carr loves throwing those short balls. He's going to put it in his running back's hands and hope they can make somebody miss. And for the Chargers, you have to know that's coming and get the matchups you want in those situations. And most importantly, tackle in the open field.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, the Chargers, I think, have done a better job of tackling in the open field. The linebackers have had a lot more success. And I mean, as much as I hate to say it, I got to give Thomas Davis a little bit of credit. He's brought a little bit of that professionalism to the linebacker spot, over 100 tackles this year at his ripe old age of 36. So credit where credit is due there. For me, my key to success is getting pressure on the quarterback. The Chargers, and I think people would probably be a little bit surprised to hear this, but the Chargers are 27th in the league, tied for 27th in the league in sacks with only 27 on the year. They have not been getting the sacks that the Chargers and the Chargers fans have been used to seeing. They got to pick that up. I mean, unfortunately, this week going up against the Raiders, they have a very good offensive line, but they need to pressure Derek Carr. They got to improve those sack numbers. I mean, I like to see some, you know, send Derwin James. He's back. I mean, he's healthy. I mean, we've seen how good of a blitzer he is. Let him get after the quarterback. Send Des King. I mean, find a way to manufacture some pass rush. It's going to help you. And you're going to hear this from me in both segments. The turnovers, win the turnover battle, okay? On defense, get a couple of turnovers, create some short fields for your offense. You got to focus on getting some turnovers. Make this game a little bit easier on you.
Well, and that's how you pull away from bad teams. You know, you let them unravel, and that's what teams playing the Chargers have done this season. I mean, they just let the Chargers beat themselves. They don't turn the ball over, and that's how they win these games in the end. But for the Chargers defense, yes, you have to be able to find some turnovers. You've been lacking in that department all season long. The sacks in this game will be important as well. In the first game, you got to him 3 times. So there's no reason you shouldn't be able to get to him at least that many times in this one. The Raiders are a worse football team than they were 4 weeks ago. I mean, they were spiraling downward very quickly, and their trajectory right now is not great. But you're right. I mean, for the talent the Chargers have rushing the passer, there's no reason to be 27th in the NFL and getting after the quarterback. I mean, that's just pretty inexcusable, and you expect to see much better numbers from this team. But one thing I want to see more of, John, in this game is more Damian Square and less Brandon Mebane. Brandon Mebane has been fine this season. Their run defense has been good. But once again, in limited snaps last week, Damian Square is the highest graded Pro Football Focus player on the Chargers. He's still not getting back to the snap counts we saw him when Justin Jones and Brandon Mebane are out. And we all know Brandon Mebane is not the answer for the future of this team. But Damian Square has had a breakout year quietly, and he's still not getting the snaps that he deserves. So playing for the future, I mean, you have 2 games left. Damian Square is on a short-term deal. Why not see what you have in him, especially when he's been playing so well? If you want to sit people and take people out of the game, then reward the people that are playing well.
I would agree. He has had, as you said, a quiet breakout year. He's performed really well on the defensive line, and we could use someone like that when the season ends. We got to find someone that's a little cheap, veteran defensive lineman like that. So I would like to see more of him and less of Brandon Mebane. Has Mebane helped in the run? Yes, of course. But has he really been effective? Has he actually been that effective defensive lineman we expect him to be when we first signed him? No, he has not. But Square has shown some life to becoming that kind of guy. Not exactly, you know, a Joey Bosa exactly in his spot, but he does show that he can make plays in that spot. So I would like to see more of him. And if he can get to Derek Carr quickly, he could probably earn more playing time next year, because this week getting the car, as David mentioned, is going to be key. They should be getting Hunter Renfrow back this week, the Raiders, that is. And he's been their third down target. When it's third down, they want to go to him. And they've missed him the past few games with that rib injury. They haven't really been able to move the ball that well. So getting pressure on Carr would help a lot. And if you put Square in, you could get that pressure.
Yeah, and I mean, we've seen Derek Carr throw the ball away on fourth down this year. That's something that's happened. He loves to throw the ball away. If you get any sort of pressure on him, he doesn't really have very much escapability. And you're right, getting Hunter Renfrow back is going to be big for the Raiders. He had four catches for 42 yards in the first matchups, and we've seen good route runners exploit this Chargers defense, especially on third downs so far this season. So the last thing I want to touch on is that the fact that the Chargers actually did a pretty good job against Josh Jacobs in the first matchup. He ends up going 16 for 71, which is pretty good. I mean, that's a 4.4 yard per carry average, but a lot of it came on that last big touchdown run. They basically bottled him up the entire game, David. So I want more of the same from that Chargers defensive front, really containing Josh Jacobs, who is the best offensive playmaker that the Oakland Raiders have.
Yeah, no question. I mean, he's going to be their catalyst on offense. I mean, the two guys that, you know, and John already mentioned Waller. I mean, Waller's just having a ridiculous year. He's got over 80 receptions. He's the second tight end in Raiders history to have over 80 receptions in a year. Like, that's unbelievable. And Josh Jacobs has had a hell of a rookie season. He's been extremely productive, and he's been playing hurt. He's had a shoulder injury that he's kind of been dealing with the entire season for the most part, and that has not slowed him down at all. The Raiders are going to look to run him if he's healthy and ready to go in this one, and they're going to run him a lot. So if you take away him and you take away Waller, I mean, it's who else are you going to try to get the ball to? I mean, those are the two guys you got to kind of, you know, take away and try to make anyone else on that offense beat you. And if you can do that, I love our odds.
Yeah, I mean, that was most of their offense in the first game, were passes to running backs for 90 receiving yards and Josh Jacobs 74 rushing yards. That's basically the entire Raiders offense in week 10 when these two teams first matched up. So I think those are the two big keys. Getting pressure on Derek Carr and, you know, making him make some mistakes is obviously a huge key as well. But there's no reason this Chargers defense shouldn't have a dominant performance against this Oakland Raiders team. We just have to hope the Chargers offense doesn't screw them over again like they did last week. But we do have one more segment to get into, talking about the Chargers offense and what they need to do to bounce back from a terrible game last week against the Minnesota Vikings, where they put up 10 points, fumbled the ball 5 times, turned the ball over 7 times. Ugh, so much to talk about on the offensive side of the ball coming up after this. But first, I need to tell you guys that if you want to put action on any sport this season, there's only one place to do it, and that's with our friends over at MyBookie. Are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you, because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag, because no one gives you more ways to win. If you guys join right now, MyBookie has a special sign-up offer. They will match your deposit halfway all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 to play with in free money. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, guys, well, it's time to get into our final segment of the show, getting into our keys for success for the Chargers offense. So after the best offensive performance they had all season against the Jacksonville Jaguars, they followed up by their worst offensive performance and their worst giveaway game of the season, turning the ball over 7 times against the Minnesota Vikings last week. So, David, there's obviously a ton of things to get to, but when you look at the last game against the Raiders, Phillip Rivers turned the ball over 3 times, 3 interceptions, one was a pick 6, and last week the team turns it over 7 times. David, there's no other place to start this segment with just don't turn the ball over, don't fumble, don't throw interceptions. I mean, that is going to be an absolutely monumental part of this game.
Yeah, like I said in the first segment, you're going to hear about turnovers again, and here it is. You got to protect the football. And I think the way to do that is to run the football. Run the ball effectively, set up those passes, and also get Phillip Rivers in rhythm. I mean, I know, you know, because of his interception issues lately, you don't want him throwing the ball a lot, but the Raiders are one of the worst passing defenses in the league, so you're going to have to throw the ball. There's going to be opportunities there, but I'd like to see them get him into a rhythm, get him some, you know, a couple of nice, easy, safe throws to try to get a rhythm going, try to get some confidence going, and then after that, maybe open it up a little bit after you do that. But also, I mean, have success in the red zone. The Raiders are one of the worst teams in the league, giving up a touchdown in two of every three drives in the red zone by their opponents. So when you get into the red zone, you got to capitalize, and you know you're gonna have a lot of opportunities to do that in this game.
Well, yeah, we hope so. In the first game, the Chargers went 3 for 4 in the red zone, scoring touchdowns at 75% clip. You're gonna take that all day long. But one thing, John, I know you're going to agree with me about for this game in particular is the fact that the Chargers have to find a better way to protect Phillip Rivers. And I know every week that comes up in this segment, but last time against the Raiders, they got to him 5 times, losing 38 yards while doing it. But the one thing from that game, John, is something we haven't seen other teams do to the Chargers in a while, and that was blitz up the middle, blitz the A-gap, get pressure in Phillip Rivers' face where he can't step up in the pocket, and he's going to make bad throws. So one of the huge keys for the Chargers this go-around is fixing what they couldn't do last time, and that is protect the interior of that pocket, not let them get pressure. And obviously, they took down Phillip Rivers 5 times, but that play in particular, blitzing Phillip Rivers up the middle of the offensive line, that's going to be a big key for this game.
And let's not forget there was also 11 QB hits in that last game against the Raiders as well. So absolutely, you got to protect the middle. Do something that allows Phillip Rivers to step up into the pocket, and he will make the throws. He's not going to run outside the pocket. Rivers is not that guy that extends the play outside the pocket. Every now and then you'll see it, sure, but that's not his thing. He's not Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson. He's none of those type of guys. You have to get all the pressure coming at Rivers to go to the side and let Rivers step up and make the throws. So absolutely, protect the A-gap, protect the middle, give Rivers the time to find the throws. And there is one play that they did with Rivers. I think it was against the Packers where they automatically just made all the pass rush go to one side, and Rivers straight rolled out right when the play started. He got the ball from the center and rolled out right away. Set up some plays like that where you send all the pass rush to one side, take their momentum, whatever it is, and use it to get them to one side of the field and let Rivers have one whole side of the field to extend the play. And if anything happens, he just throws it out of bounds. He doesn't have to chuck it and hope for a prayer or even put it into double coverage. I want to see some things that set up and use the Raiders' momentum against them.
And you're catching the Raiders at a good time because they have only had 4 sacks in the last 4 games, which happened to be all losses for them. So they haven't been able to get after the quarterback very well lately, and let's hope that continues in this one.
Well, and the problem with that is this wasn't a good pass rushing team when these two teams matched up the first time. I mean, this is not a vaunted defensive line in pass rush for the Oakland Raiders. I mean, it was just the Chargers not being able to execute. And one thing that I like to do in those situations, especially for that play, particularly getting that pressure in the middle, there's two ways the Chargers can go about it, because it's not like you can get a tight end on the end of the line and chip on these incoming pass rushers, which I'm sure we'll see some of that as well. But when the pressure's coming up the middle, one thing I would like to see is use the jet sweep more. Give it to Austin Ekeler when you have him come in motion with 2 running backs on the field. And I think a lot of 2 running back sets are going to be important for this game. I mean, that play right there, just a quick handoff, a jet sweep to Austin Ekeler. The pressure's coming up the middle. Now he's on the outside with numbers, with the linebackers chasing him from behind. That's a great play against that particular blitz. So I want to see that as well. The other thing I want to see is 2 running back sets in the shotgun. You have Melvin Gordon and Austin Ekeler back there. You have a running back that can go in the middle and block somebody coming on the inside, while you have another guy who can get the check down route with the linebackers blitzing you and make somebody miss. Those are 2 ways I'd like to combat that this week if I'm the Chargers offensive coordinator, Shane Steichen, who was not the offensive coordinator when these two teams matched up the first time. So that's something we could see a change in, and hopefully we do. But one thing that that has to be better in this game is Austin Eckler getting catches out of the backfield. In the first game, he had 2 receptions for 29 yards. David, we talked about all of the accolades that he's been able to rack up this season and how impressive he has been. It has to be better than that if you're the Chargers offense. It's one of your best, most dynamic playmakers, and he only gets 2 receptions while averaging 14 and a half yards per reception. It makes absolutely no sense, and that's something that has to change the second go around.
Well, yeah, and like I mentioned earlier, they're going to have an opportunity to throw the football against this Raiders defense. I mean, like I said before, they're one of the worst pass defenses in the league, and Austin Eckler happens to be one of the best receivers in the league, regardless of position. And when he only has 2 receptions in a game, that's completely unacceptable. This is a guy who has to have the football in his hands multiple times per game. He makes things happen plain and simple. He breaks tackles. I saw a stat where he has the most yards after contact by any running back in the league, and it's by a large margin. So give him opportunities to continue to do that. That's what he does best. Get him in open space. Let him break tackles. He's pound for pound one of the strongest players on the Chargers. In his small stature, he's an incredible player. Got to give him those opportunities and let him show you what he's able to do with them.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you've had the famous Austin Eckler analysis of Austin Eckler, Austin Eckler, Austin Eckler, Austin Eckler. So I definitely want to throw that in, but just not enough of him the first time around against the Raiders. We absolutely need to see more of Austin Eckler this week, especially if they want to keep blitzing linebackers. That's a great matchup for him, and he should have a really big game. Hell, he might even pass Marshall Faulk in this game and get 157 receiving yards. Spoiler alert for Dan's bold prediction later on in the week, possibly. But the last 2 things I want to get to, John, in this game are running the ball effectively like you did in the first game. Melvin Gordon goes 22 for 108. I mean, that usually gets the Chargers a win if they're running the ball that effectively. You want to see that continue in this game. It's going to be a huge part of the game because it sets up the play action and everything else. The Chargers offense is better when they're running the football. And the other thing that leads to is better success on third downs, where the Chargers converted only 3 out of 10 of their third down plays against the Raiders in week 10. So, John, those are the last 2 things I want to key in on, because I think those are going to be hugely important against the Raiders.
Yes. So my number one key was actually maintaining the running game. With how well Melvin Gordon ran the ball last time they played the Raiders, you need to do that again, and you need to keep doing it. Do what you did against the Packers. Just keep hammering them with the run, do it all game, and control the ball. If you have the ball in your hands, the Raiders can't do nothing to you. And if you're running the ball, Phillip Rivers isn't getting pressured up the middle and getting sacked and having to force 3 interceptions because he has no time to throw the ball. If you're establishing the run and keeping with the run, you can win the game. The only obstacle you have to do is not fumble the ball, Melvin Gordon. It's ridiculous that he fumbled the ball so many times. He was actually getting a couple of good runs against the Vikings and fumbled the ball. This week, you got to hold onto the ball, keep your focus, and pick up the first down. Even if it's a 7-yard gain, hold onto that ball, duck the shoulder, get that 7-yard gain. Now it's 2nd and 3. Whatever happens the next play, it can either become 1st down, 3rd and 1, or Rivers throws and it's 3rd and 3. Either way, that's an easy 3rd down. You have to get those 3rd down conversions. They have to happen. Hunter Henry has got to be your go-to guy on those 3rd down plays. If you're not looking for him and you're trying to do something stupid like, oh, you know, hey, Keenan Allen, quick slant. Oh, it's a great play, but the Raiders are going to see it coming. Gruden knows that's coming. You got to find a way to get Hunter Henry open in the middle of the field, and that's where you're going to get those 3rd down conversions. But we cannot talk about keys to success without mentioning Lamblock needs to not watch the game this week. Please turn off the TV. That is the biggest key to success.
Yeah, I mean, I want to take this time to apologize to all Charger fans out there listening to this right now for the fact that we didn't start the segment with that. I mean, that's an absolute oversight by us as the Locked On Chargers podcast. John, I really appreciate you bringing that up, because there is no more important thing that the Chargers can do in this game than to have Lamblock not wearing his new Phillip Rivers jersey and watching it. So Lamblock, god damn it, don't do it, man. Just don't do it. Save the fans some heartache.
Yeah, check out the radio broadcast. The Chargers got a couple of really good guys. Matt Money Smith and Daniel Jeremiah will get you the play-by-play. That way you don't miss the game. But sorry, Lamb, no watching for you.
Yeah, and then maybe we get the Lamlock anti-curse where the Chargers go undefeated while he's listening to the game on the radio. Think of all the positive things that can come from you, Lamlock, not watching the game. And you're going to come here and complain about our late show on Monday after Dan was forced into a deep drinking depression and that forced him to, you know, release a late show and not take any accountability for the curse. Just ridiculous. Can't have it. Lamlock, be better, and the Chargers will be better.
We just got an update here. Josh Jacobs will not be playing this weekend, and Trent Brown is on IR.
Wow, so huge news. Forget everything I said about Josh Jacobs. I mean, even though he was not much of a factor in that first game, I mean, John, how much of a difference now seeing that news do you think that makes on this Raiders offense?
It makes a big difference, and that is because they don't have to worry about tackling a running back that's going to be trying to plow over them with his power. Now they have to try to stop a running back who is going to be trying to play in the passing game. So I think this helps a lot with the Chargers. The Chargers can do pretty well at stopping the pass. They struggle against the run, especially with big running backs. They did okay against Leonard Fournette, but he still was breaking tackles against them. This helps us a lot. And without Trent Brown, there is no excuse. There better be at least 4 to 5 sacks in this game against Derek Carr.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the game plan you now know is you cannot let these other guys, Jalen Richard, DeAndre Washington, get going. They're going to be in there a lot and getting a lot of run. And I think the Chargers are better against those kind of running backs. I know it was late in the fourth quarter, but you saw what Nick Boone did to them last week after Dalvin Cook left. I mean, he was absolutely gashing them, a different type of runner that the Chargers sometimes struggle with. So that is going to be a huge difference in this game. And now that we know Josh Jacobs is out, that means the Chargers defense should have an even more dominant performance. Let's see if they can get it done. But big news at the end of the show, no Josh Jacobs, no Trent Brown, who is now on injured reserve. There's no reason you shouldn't have pass rush. There's no reason you should allow these running backs to have an impact in this game. So good news for the Chargers right there. Thanks for adding that in, John. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. Until tomorrow, guys, we're going to be getting into our predictions for the game against the Raiders this weekend, as well as our bold predictions and what players we think are going to go off, as well as some fan questions. So if you guys want to get any questions in, make sure to hit us up on Twitter at LockedOnLAC or to call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. The number is 323-524-7924, and every Chargers voicemail gets on the show. But until tomorrow, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. But until tomorrow, guys, we should have a fun show for you then. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.